either way now, gilt and feathers and badges and feeling chilly. There were other things that mattered more, and always would. He jumped off the stick before it had stopped, stumbled in a circle and fell against Dr. Lorne's door, hammering on it with his fists. After a while, it opened a crack, and a familiar voice, changed only a little with age, said, "Yes." Vimes thrust the door fully open. "Look at me, Dr. Lorne," he said. Lorne stared. "Keel," he said. In his other hand, he was holding the world's biggest syringe. "Can't be. They buried John Keel, you know they did," said Vimes. He saw the huge instrument in the man's hand. "What the hell were you going to do with that?" "Based a turkey, as a matter of fact. Luke, who are you then? Because you look like..." "Grab all your midwifing stuff and come with me now," said Vimes. "All those funny tools you said work so well. Bring them all, right now, and I'll make you the richest doctor that ever lived," said Vimes, a man wearing nothing but mud and blood. Lorne gestured weakly towards the kitchen. "I'll just have to take the turkey out. Stuff the turkey. I already... Come on!" The broomstick did not fly well with three on board, but it was faster than walking, and Vimes at this point knew he'd be incapable of anything else. He was out of breath and strength by the time he got home the first time. Now merely standing upright was a test of endurance. It was the broomstick or crawling. Now it lumbered out of the sky and landed unsteadily on the lawn. "Lady upstairs, big bedroom on left," said Vimes, pushing vaguely at the doctor. "Midwife there, not got a clue. All the money you want, go on." Lorne hurried off. Vimes, helped by Ridcully, followed rather more stiffly. But as they reached the door, the doctor came out walking backwards very slowly. It became apparent, as he emerged, that this was because Detritus's huge crossbow was pressed against his nose. When Vimes spoke, his voice was slightly muffled, because he was lying flat on the ground. "Put the bow down, Sergeant," he managed.
"He come rushing in, Mr. Vimes," rumbled Detritus.
"That's because he's the doctor, Sergeant. Let him go upstairs. That is an order, thank you."
"Right, Mr. Vimes,"
said Detritus, stepping aside with reluctance and shouldering the bow, at which point the bow discharged. When the thunder had died away, Vimes got up and looked around. He hadn't actually liked the shrubbery very much. That was just as well. Nothing remained but some tree trunks, and they were all stripped of bark down one side. There were a few small fires.
Sorry about that, Mr. Vimes," said the troll.
"What did I tell you about Mr. Safety Catch?" said Vimes weakly.
"When Mr. Safety Catch is not on, Mr. Crossbow is not your friend," recited Detritus, saluting. "Sorry, sir, but we all a bit tense at this time."
"I certainly am," said Ridcully, picking himself off the lawn and pulling twigs out of his beard. "I may not walk properly for the rest of the day. I suggest, Sergeant, that we pick the doctor up, bring him round under the pump and take him upstairs." The things that happened next were a waking dream for Vimes. He moved like a ghost through his own house, which was full of watchmen. No one wanted to be anywhere else. He shaved himself very slowly, concentrating on every stroke. He was aware of noises off, which arrived via the pink clouds in his head. "He says he wants them boiled, the nasty, horrid things. What's that for, to make them softer? Trolls and dwarfs on tonight. Every door and window covered, and I mean covered. Stood over me and said, 'Damn well boil them for 20 minutes, like they were cabbage.' Now he's asked for small brandy. Mrs. Content stormed out, and he said not to let her in again. Igor came and offered to help, and Lorne took one look and said only if he's been boiled for 20 minutes. Pox doctor, when all's said and done. Old Stoneface will cover him with gold if it all turns out right. Yeah, and if it turns out wrong?" Vimes got dressed in his street uniform, moving slowly and willing every limb into position. He brushed his hair. He went out into the hall. He sat down on an uncomfortable chair with his helmet on his knees, while ghosts both living and dead hurried around him. Usually, always, there was a part of Vimes that watched the other parts, because he was, at heart, a policeman. This time it wasn't there. It was in here with the rest of him, staring at nothing and waiting. "Someone take up more towels. Now he's asked for a large brandy. He wants to see Mr. Vimes." Vimes's brain lit up from whatever little pilot light of thought had been operating at the most basic level. He walked up the stairs, helmet under his arm, like a man going to take a statement. He knocked at the door. Lorne opened it. He was holding a brandy glass in his other hand and moved aside with a smile. Sybil was sitting up. He saw, through the mist of exhaustion, that she was holding something wrapped in a shawl. "He's called Sam,"